Welcome to the Sanctuary Life Podcast, where we take you through a day in the life of animal rescues and sanctuaries across the country. Whether you are an experienced sanctuary staffer, one of the countless volunteers who work so hard at sanctuaries each day, or someone who just loves animals, we hope this journey can give you a behind-the-scenes peek into just what it takes to live the sanctuary life. Now, here's your host, Brandon Feisner, co-founder of Louisville, Kentucky's Butterfly Valley Rescue and Sanctuary.
For this week's episode, we head to the Sunshine State to meet Jesse Miller, founder and compassion creator at Epic Outreach in Jacksonville, Florida. In 2019, Epic Outreach embarked on an incredible mission to establish an education-based farm sanctuary where rescued horses, donkeys, dogs, cats, chickens, pigs, bunnies, and guinea pigs find refuge, safety, and love. Many of these animals become ambassadors, not only sharing their stories of rescue, but inspiring kindness through visits to school and tours at the sanctuary. As we delve into this episode, we'll explore how Epic Outreach engages in a community collaboration, allowing individuals to contribute through donations, volunteering, spreading the message. We'll also discover their deep commitment to their humane education outreach, their inspiring visits to schools with animal ambassadors like Moon Pie, the rescue Potbelly Pig, and their creative approach to using children's books to foster compassion and empathy. We'll explore how the Be Kind impact has touched more than 5,500 lives, helped rescue nearly 150 animals, and shared more than 3,000 books. Join us on this journey to learn about Epic Outreach's incredible impact and the difference they are making for people, animals, and the planet. Founder Jesse Miller's journey of dedication and unwavering love for animals began many years ago when she witnessed a tragic event that forever altered her perspective. At just 10 years old, she saw a lifeless German Shepherd on the street, abandoned and alone, prompting profound questions about compassion and care. This transformative moment ignited a calling deep within her, a calling that has driven her to cultivate a distinguished background in animal rescue and outreach. Throughout her career, she has bridged corporate America and animal welfare fields, shaping her personality and unwavering drive to create a kinder world for people, animals, and the planet. So, Jesse, I want to thank you so much for joining us for this week's episode of the Sanctuary Life Podcast. We're so excited to learn more about the amazing things that are happening each and every day at Epic Outreach.
Well, thank you. I'm grateful to be here and grateful for the invite and super excited to talk more and share more. I'm super passionate about what we do and it's an honor to be here. So thank you very much for the opportunity.
Awesome. So can you start by telling us a little bit about the founding of Epic Outreach, which if I read correctly, actually started a few years before the sanctuary itself did, and just kind of what that inspiration was behind all of that?
Yeah, so Epic Outreach was actually formed in 2015. And it's, you know, from a drive of a passion for education outreach. And the vision was to always eventually have an education farm sanctuary where we could rescue animals and bridge people and animals by having them come out and engage with the animals at the sanctuary. But that was, you know, a vision out in the future. And so in 2015, I started the 501c3 nonprofit organization and was really going into schools with therapy animals, therapy dogs, guinea pigs, and really doing education outreach. Education is my passion, aside from rescuing animals. And I've always, my whole career started when I was young with a passion for animals and then volunteering in my local humane society when I was in high school. And that began a career in the animal welfare field. And I've been in various roles from working in animal shelters to doing sea turtle outreach and protection. And the one thing I really saw that was the most powerful for me is that education really made a difference. So when I took the time as an animal control officer to talk to a pet owner and educate them on how they can be a better pet owner, it wasn't necessarily always about writing a ticket or taking an animal away. It was more about education, and people really made it made a difference when you would spend that time and educate. And so I've always had this vision of, you know, if we teach kids, we can, you know, grow them up to be more compassionate adults. And we really need that. In my personal opinion, the planet needs more compassion and kindness. And so education has always been a huge proponent for me. And so I started Epic Outreach with the mission of outreach and education, getting into schools with the vision to open the sanctuary one day, which happened to be in 2019 when my husband and I bought a 7-acre farm and started with rescuing animals, started with two horses, and really bridging the education component with the rescuing component, with a focus on farm animals, of course, because I do have worked in animal sheltering with dogs and cats. There are so many rescue agencies out there for them. I really wanted to focus my attention on horses and other farm type animals that don't get as much attention. So that's really where it really blossomed from, is, you know, my vision for education outreach to rescuing animals and building that human animal bond, where we introduce people to rescued animals, tell their stories, in the hopes that it would inspire more kindness and compassion.
Awesome. And it is interesting that you talk about having kind of the lengthy career that you've had in the various roles, and the importance of that you saw in starting a farmed animal sanctuary because of that need. I think so many people still to this day, if they just hear that you have a rescue and sanctuary, their first question is, oh, do you take dogs and cats? And because there's such a focus on that, and you're starting to see that shift a little bit towards farmed animals being included in that. And it's powerful to see that.
Yes, I agree. 100%.
So one of your mission revolves around inspiring kindness and compassion. Can you explain how you achieve that through both the animal rescuing aspect and the humane education outreach that you all perform?
Yeah, for me, it's really about storytelling. So you hear that a lot of, you know, in like marketing and other things, and stories are powerful. They really pull people in. And, you know, when you tell a really good, compelling story, it really impacts you in your mind, in your heart, in your soul. And so for me, telling the stories of the animals that we rescue, when people come either for a tour at the farm, or if we're taking an animal into a school and we're sharing the story about how that animal was rescued and how people can be better and do better and be kinder and be more compassionate, I really feel like that message gets ingrained deeper, and it instills in them where they take it out into the world and either ripple it out and share that message and that story again, creating more kindness. So it's not just they're coming to the sanctuary, or we're in a school and we're teaching or sharing a story there. It really ripples out. And so for me, the bridging that and building that kindness and compassion is by telling the story and really connecting people to that these animals have lives and they have a story, and, you know, something that maybe could have been prevented, or if we had done better by, you know, learning that all animals need food, water, shelter, and love. That's one of our biggest components, is that we don't forget that animals need love too, along with the planet Earth. It really, through those stories, I feel that we're planting seeds, and those seeds, you know, get watered over time from people either visiting other sanctuaries or visiting or hearing other stories. And over time, that stuff builds and creates that compassion and kindness. I think everybody has kindness and compassion in their hearts, because I think that's what hearts are there for, is for love. And I think that when we can build upon it and really deepen that by sharing the stories and connecting them to a living, breathing soul, whether that's, you know, an animal, a human being, or, you know, a flower, a tree, you know, the garden, like it all just, you know, it's just a collective. And that's how we achieve it. And I know we're going to talk a little bit more in detail, but I also write children's books. And the reason I write children's books about the animals that we rescue is because I believe that when people take those books home and read them to their kids, or the kids read them, I've had adults read them and be inspired, it really just continues that deepening of that seed and watering that seed and building on that kindness and that compassion.
Yes. And so talking about the stories and the next step in your building kindness and compassion, like you said, in 2015, you started Epic Outreach. And then in 2019, you all added the 7-acre farm sanctuary, again, with that focus being on education. Can you describe kind of the 10,000 foot overview of what that farm sanctuary looks like today and the type of animals that you all have rescued and care for at the sanctuary?
Yeah, so we first started out, and I keep saying we. It's really, you know, like my husband is part of it. He's known as Farmer Jack. He's a big part of what we do here. And then we, of course, have a lot of volunteers that help out as well. So when I say we, it's a collective. And we started out with a focus on horses. So two horses joined the sanctuary when we first started in 2019. Of course, when we bought the farm, there was a potbelly pig on the property, and the previous owners did not know what to do with the pig. And we asked if we could keep him. And when they heard what we were going to be doing with the farm, they allowed us to keep him. And so originally we were going to focus on rescuing horses. And we quickly learned through having Oliver is the pig that was here. And he's still here living. And he really taught me about pigs. And the more I shared about him and his story, and his, you know, the things that we were learning about caring for a pig and their personalities, we started getting more calls and requests for help with pigs. And my thought was, I didn't want to really rescue a lot of pigs, but the more I learned that pigs really need help. And so we started with rescuing two pigs from an animal control agency. And that evolved into more pigs in need. And the more we learned about them, it became a passion for me. Now I'm highly focused on pigs. We do help every type of hoofed animal, or any animal really. We help dogs, we help cats, we help chickens. We don't have any goats on the farm, but we will rescue goats. So if a goat is in need, we will take a goat, we get them vetted, and then we usually adopt them out. There's always people that want to adopt goats, or we transfer them to other rescue agencies, farm sanctuaries. And we do have more horses, but pigs are our primary. We've become known for rescuing and helping pigs in need, mainly potbellies, some bigger farm type pigs, but really potbelly pigs is what we've become known for. And it's a passion. You know, they're kind of the underdog, and I feel like they don't get as much attention. And there's just, it seems like an epidemic with potbelly pigs, and they really need a voice, and we need to educate more about them. We need to share more about how they can be pets. They are domesticated and they can live in your house. And so it's become one of those things that I've just taken as my mission to educate more about.
And once you have interacted with a pig and met a pig and had that personal connection with a pig, you can't help but become an advocate for pigs, because they're such absolutely amazing animals.
They are. Indeed, they are. They're very smart. I love them.
So many of your animals, as we've talked about, kind of go on during their time at the sanctuary to become education ambassadors. How do you share their rescue stories and use that to inspire kindness among your visitors?
We give tours here at our sanctuary, and so we bring people on and we actually let them go into the pasture and engage with the animals. And we have an open concept farm, so our horses, our pigs, we have several dogs that live on the farm as well. They all interact together, even the chickens and donkeys. They're all intertwined and living in the pasture, open, kind of like an open concept. And so when people come visit, they can go out there and they engage with all the animals all at once. And we let people go in there. We're not necessarily a petting zoo, so we're not allowing, we do let people feed treats, but it's not where you come in and you just feed treats. We actually go out and go on a tour, usually go on a scavenger hunt around the farm. We get to meet the animals, we tell their stories. And then at the end, if they've brought in carrots or apples, they're allowed to feed them once they're off the pasture and there's a fence in between them. But up until then, they're out there meeting them and learning about them. And it's really, it is educational. I mean, many people don't know that pigs don't sweat. It's amazing how many people don't know that. So it's a fun little tip to share with people, and people are amazed. They're also amazed that, you know, pigs learn their names. We have many pigs here that sit and, you know, will come running when called. So it's really kind of fun to teach people about that. And when they get to know the animals by name, they're very, it's just, it's very cool to see people and see people come back and remember the animals' names and looking forward to seeing that special animal that they made a connection with on the tour. And then we also write children's books. I write children's books. I've co-authored some and I've written some on my own. I've also illustrated all the books that I have my name on. And so we tell the story of the animals through the children's books, which really helps when kids come to visit and they take the books home. They can read, continue to read the stories about the animals that all have educational themes in the books. So they talk about adoption. They tell the story about Oliver the pig, who, you know, once was living and he grew too big. And we all know the story about, you know, mini pigs. People think they'll stay small and then they grow up. And so we really get to tell those stories when people are here and they see the size of the animals. And we can educate on the differences and the different, you know, misconceptions that are out there in, you know, the world and on the internet that people read. So it's really a really cool opportunity when we get people to come here and visit. And then we also have a few animals that we take into schools and we teach about animals, you know, in the classroom, and we bring pictures of the animals from the farm. And then a lot of times those kids and their families will come out and actually visit the farm and meet the animals that they saw in the pictures. So it's really fun and cool to plant those seeds, which I know ripple out because we hear so many stories of people that have come here and their kids won't stop talking about the animals. They want to come back. And it just keeps, you know, watering that seed that keeps growing of compassion, of people shifting their mind around the idea that farm type animals like horses and pigs you see in a pasture while you're driving down the road, you know, you can actually go in and engage with them and they're just like, you know, a dog or a cat that you cuddle up with in bed. They do have personalities. They do, you know, things like learning their names and doing tricks and things like that, which is kind of cool. Most people don't realize.
Yes, and I love that you talk about a lot of the students that you meet in the classrooms coming out and seeing the animals with their families. And one of the coolest things for us is when we've met a kid once and then we see them again, or they come back like later on that same day and then they're helping teach everybody else. It's like they immediately become their own little advocate for the animals and they're helping teach their family and teaching others, hey, this is this animal and this is their story. And that's one of the coolest things that you can ever see, is to immediately see that kind of impact that you have on that child.
Yes, it is very cool. I love it. That's what makes my heart just soar, because that's where, for me, that's where change exists. That's where change happens and it exists. And it's just really amazing.
And so speaking of education and you're all as education ambassadors and going to the classrooms, one of those is Moon Pie, the potbelly pig that was brought up in the introduction. And can you tell us a little more about Moon Pie and a little more about kind of what Moon Pie does on some of the education visits and the impact that he is able to make?
Yes. So when we've been rescuing pigs here, all of them have been on the farm. And so they live out in the pasture, and we know that potbelly pigs are domesticated and can be house pigs. And we do see a lot of people who need help rehoming those pigs when they get them as babies. They expect them to stay little and then they grow up and then they have, you know, behavioral problems. And so my goal was to always eventually have a house pig so I could learn how to help people maybe keep their pigs, because I'm learning how to have a house pig and what that entails. And so Moon Pie came to us earlier this year as a rescue. He had been abandoned on the street. Animal control had picked him up, didn't know what to do with him. He was in a community that they don't really handle pigs. They brought him to a animal shelter that handles dogs and cats and said, if you can't help him, we're going to have to euthanize him because we don't deal with pigs. And so she scooped him up and took him in. She didn't know what to do with him because she deals with dogs and cats. And she got on the Facebook and Googled and found us and said, can you help? And I said, if you can drive him to me, I'll take him. And he came to us. He was sick. He had an ear tag in his ear that was completely infected. We got him nurtured. He was in my house because it was earlier in the year. And even though we're in Florida, we do get cold. And so he was too young to leave outside. And so he was in my bathroom. And I was just getting to know him and realizing that he could probably be a really good ambassador. And so he's always stayed an inside pig. He's completely housebroken. We're learning a lot about how to, you know, provide for him as an indoor pig. And now he's become this pig that just loves people. He got so much exposure that now he goes into schools and he loves to be in the middle of kids. And he's really becoming, we take him for walks downtown. He's become kind of a known figure. He's got his own business card. So when we meet people on the street, we pass out his card so people can come to the farm and meet more of the animals. And so he's becoming that ambassador and that face for showing that pigs are more than just a farm animal. They can be a companion. They can be a part of your life. They can integrate into your world and your home, given the right circumstances, of course. And it's a really cool talking point. And we've gotten a lot of Potbelly pigs adopted into homes. And I'm not saying Moon Pie is the one that did that, but because he's become such an ambassador, he gets people talking about pigs being pets, and then also doing your research and doing your education. So we are also not here just so you can either rehome your pig or adopt a pig or farm animal. We also are here to educate. So people can come to us and ask questions. If we don't have the answer, we can guide them where to go, where to find the answer, so they can do the research and be the best, you know, advocates, be the best parents or, you know, owner of whatever animal they decide when they do the research. And we're here to help them and be that education resource for them, so that they make the right decision and can provide for the animal in the best possible way so it's successful. And successful to us is that you provide them a good home and take care of them and hopefully keep them for their, you know, life expectancy. And Moon Pie is a great advocate for that. I mean, everybody that comes to the farm now, they want to meet him because we have him on social media a lot. And he's been on the news and he's been in the classroom. And then when people come here, they get to see him. And he's still kind of growing. And so people are watching him grow up. So it's very cool to see him be that ambassador for pigs. We always use the hashtag pigs are pets. And so we want people to see that they can be pets and they are personable and they deserve to be treated like that. So he's definitely a great ambassador for sure.
Yes, it certainly sounds like it. And I think two really big things that you touched on there that I think are absolutely essential is, one, the importance of people seeing a potbelly pig or mini pig grow up, because there is that misconception out there that you touched on that mini pigs stay small, and that's not the case. They stay small compared to a traditional farm pig, a full-size pig, but they don't necessarily stay small. I mean, it would not be unusual to see a mini pig grow to 200 plus pounds. And it's important for people to see that and understand that, because so many times they see these pictures of pigs that are just a few months old at most. And they're like, oh, that's the pig I want. I want a pig that stays that size forever. And I'm like, no, that doesn't exist. And the other thing that I want to applaud you so much on is the importance of educating people on how to keep like if they want a pig as a house pet. It's not necessarily an easy thing to do, but it certainly can be done if that's what you want to do. But the importance of educating people on expectations and the things that come with that, because so many people get a pig thinking it's just going to be like a dog or like a cat, not understanding how much more intelligent a pig is, how much stronger a pig is, how much more determined a pig can be. And there's a lot of challenges that come with that, that they make absolutely incredible pets, but it's not just having another pet like a dog or a cat in your house. It's very much like having a toddler in your house.
That's exactly what I tell people. It's very much like having a toddler for the rest of their life. And it's, that's why I kept him as an indoor pig, to be where he can help me understand and learn better and then be able to translate that to people who ask questions. So it's absolutely true. And I tell people that all the time. It's like having a toddler 24/7. Is he fun? He is. And is he, you know, a lovely pet to have in the house? 100%. But you have to understand what you're getting yourself into and be prepared for that. So it is, it's a great little journey we're on together.
Yes. And my favorite part when I see house pigs is the people that are committed to having house pigs and how the level of ingenuity and things that come with that, as far as like having to put special locks on their fridge and special locks on their cabinets, because you can't even regular like toddler proof or child locks do absolutely no good against a pig. Right. The pig. They would destroy them in a heartbeat. So it's always fun to see what goes into giving a pig a safe home, because again, it's not just that the pig will get into and eat your stuff. It's if the pig gets in and eats that bag of potato chips, that can be very harmful for that pig.
Very true. Very true.
So one of the things that you have talked about a couple times is the children's books, and they play such a significant role in your organization, and you've written several books based on stories of animals that you all have rescued. Can you just give us kind of a glimpse at what some of those books are, their themes, and then the messages and lessons that you hope to convey to young readers through them?
Yeah, so we have several dog books, and that's what really started. I started writing dog books before I had the farm sanctuary. So our dog books teach messages about adoption. Many of the stories of the animals in those dog books were rescued from animal shelters on the street, etc. So they talk about adoption. And then obviously the things that animals need: food, water, love, and shelter. And we also, one of the books talks about discrimination. So it's written about a pit bull type dog. And it talks about discrimination. It's a conversation between the pit bull dog and a butterfly. And so it gives, you know, talks about the discrimination. The newest books are all about farm animals. So we have a chicken book, a cat book, and a pig book about Oliver. And they all have different themes, some about friendship. The barn cat book, it talks about barn cats and their personalities. And then the Oliver book talks about how he was small and then grew up. And so they all have that educational theme. And they also have a teaching component in them where we ask questions at the end that help to instill in the kids to think about what they just learned through the story, and also helps maybe teachers, if they have the book in the classroom, or parents, to discuss things and get the kids talking about the different concepts that are in the book and teaching points. And we have so many, anytime we get a lot of grants that help support the books so that we can actually give them away, because it's not necessarily about selling the books to make money. It's about getting the books into the hands and having the kids read, or adults. We've had many adults read the book about the pit bull and get a whole different concept about what the pit bull breed is. And then we have adults read some of the younger kid books, and they learn, you know, stuff that get inspired by the books as well. And so we have a lot of kids who we go into the classroom, and we go into repeated classrooms. So sometimes we're invited back every year, and sometimes we see the same kids just in different grade levels. And they, what's so heartwarming is they remember the stories. And I've had kids chase me down in a hallway and say, oh my God, I read your book every day, or I read your book so much. And we love the story. And we have kids that come to the farm sanctuary who's taken the books home, and the parents say they cannot stop reading the book. And they always talk about the animals in the book, and they want to come visit them. So education is, to me, is one of those things that you can't necessarily quantify. The, you know, you can look at how many adoptions you do, you can look at how many animals you rescue. But with education outreach, it's hard to put a number on it. It's hard to see what the impact is. But I know that education is impactful, and I know it makes a difference. And it's always about planting that seed, letting that seed water, and it's through the stories. And I really firmly believe in sharing stories to tell the message of kindness and compassion. Really instills in us that we want to continue to do that in our own lives and in our own, you know, communities around us. So to me, the stories are really powerful, and I love the books. And I'm already talking about writing a book about a horse now. Hopefully next year, that'll be the next book that comes out. But there's always a story going on in my brain about one of the animals here. And I could probably write a book about all of them. And we have 60 animals here. So we, you know, could have a lot of books out there. But it does take time. And I definitely don't want to just throw a story out there. I want it to be impactful and have something that resonates with people, so that it does continue to foster that, you know, concept of building kindness and building compassion, you know, for, you know, a more compassionate future is my goal.
Well, once you get all 60 of those books read, you'll just have to open an epic library.
That's right. That's right.
So if any of our listeners are interested and want to learn more about the books or purchase any of your children's books, what's the best way for them to do that before we get too much further into the other topics?
Yeah, we have all of our books are sold on Amazon, and they can go on Amazon and search my name, Jesse Miller, and that should pull up the books. Or you can go to our website, and if you go to our the books and education section on our website, epicoutreach.org, all the books are listed there. And if you click on it, it'll take you to the link to buy them on Amazon.
Awesome. So we'll make sure to post the link to where the books are available in the show notes, so people can find them if they're interested. Absolutely adorable books. I know that we're going to have to order a few here to have on site for when we do events and things, just to share, because some amazing stories there. So one of the things that you've talked about some is the fact that you all also help. You don't just provide sanctuary to animals. You all also help get some of the animals that you all intake adopted into loving homes. Can you elaborate just a little bit on your adoption program and the impact that that has made on your organization?
It helps us rescue more animals. So as you probably know, interviewing many different sanctuaries, you know, having, you know, it being in the rescue sanctuary world, you get full really fast, and you can, you know, exceed numbers for what your acreage could handle. And so I quickly learned that in order for us to continue to help more animals, we needed to really figure out how to get these animals into their own homes. Sanctuary life is a great life, but I also noticed too, when we were taking in more and more potbelly pigs, that not all of them want to live in a sanctuary. Some of them, you know, they are social animals, but some of them, just like human beings, they don't really want to be with other pigs, or they don't want to be in a community full, you know, of 10 pigs. They might want to just buddy up with one other pig, or kind of be more of a people pig. And so they don't really want, you know, to be around all the other animals like the horses and the dogs. And so I started realizing that we could help more animals if we got animals adopted into homes. And we would also, the more we became aware in the community, people would reach out to us. So if somebody was looking for an animal or a pig to adopt, people would send them our way, and we would start educating. And then we would try to figure out if we had a pig that would fit their home life or their farm life. And so it really kind of grew over time. And we have gotten knock on wood, all of the pigs that we have had adopted out have all stayed in their homes except for two. And for me, that's really successful. The two pigs that came back did not come back at any fault of their own. They were just being pigs, and the people just weren't willing to deal with, you know, pig behavior of rooting. And so it's been amazing. It's been an amazing journey. We've met so many wonderful people who want to give animals great homes. I shared earlier that we don't have goats here on our farm, but we work very closely with our local law enforcement agency who handles all of the hoofed animals. And most of those animals, the ordinance in our community reads that those animals, hoofed animals, go to auction once they're, you know, if they've been picked up as a stray or abandoned for whatever reason, they get held. And if no owners claim them, then they go to auction or they go and get euthanized. And so there's a little hiccup in there where they could give them to a rescue like us. So we take any hoofed animals that they get. And if we can't keep them here, we get them vetted and then we adopt them out. So goats, we've taken in many goats here. And we just adopt them out or we transfer them to other sanctuaries. And we work with other sanctuaries too. We've definitely transferred pigs to other sanctuaries that could handle their needs better than us for long-term care. And so it's very collective. In my opinion, it works well when you become good in relationship with other organizations in your community. And you're able to be that resource for the animals and then continue to be that resource. Like I would never want to be in a position where I had to say we were completely full and could never help any more animals because the need is so great out there that I want to be able to continue to help more animals. And the only way to do that is to get animals adopted into homes. And then we are very, we do a very lengthy process. We don't have an adoption application per se, but people have to come here. They have to meet the animal. We do a home visit. We do follow-up checkups. We have very thorough conversations with people, making sure that they know what they're getting into, making sure they're prepared for what they're going to be taking on, whether it's a goat, whether it's a pig. We have had one horse here. It was a mule, and we adopted him out. He just wasn't the right fit here, but he's thriving in the home that he's at. And many of the pigs that we've adopted, not many, all of them are thriving in the homes that they're in because they were really well fitted for those families and those homes. And that's what we do. We do a very thorough process in finding those homes and making sure that they're the right fit for that particular animal. And so it's been very successful. And it's been a great educational journey too, because we get to help people learn better and learn more about the animals that they're adopting that make for, and we've had people come back and adopt second animals from us. So that's when you know you've done a great job, is when they come back and want to adopt another animal because they've learned how to do it properly and then it's been successful for them to be that, you know, new pig parent, and then they want to adopt a second one. And that's kind of like the icing on the cake, because having people come back and adopt a second time is just, it's just phenomenal. And then many of them have become friends, many of them have become donors of the sanctuary, and they follow us on social media, and it's just sort of a collective collaboration, and it's just fostering more compassion.
Absolutely. And talking about ways that you foster compassion, and one of those are in some of the events and things that you host. And just about a month from now, you all will have your fourth annual Farm Fun Falloween, which I love the name of. Can you tell our listeners just a little bit more of what they could expect if they were to attend the Farm Fun Falloween?
It's basically a festival at the farm. It's grown over the years, and so it's gotten bigger and bigger. This year, we're going to have a band, and we're going to have, of course, it's a farm-friendly band, or I should say a family-friendly band. They really cater to kids and families, and we're also going to have a food truck. We are limited here at our sanctuary. Unfortunately, we are limited to our parking capacity. So we sell our tickets by the car. So if anybody goes to our website and clicks on the ticket and they see, you know, the price, it's per car because we have a limited spots for cars. And so you can have up to six people in a car for, you know, the one ticket price. But we take them on a tour of the farm. We basically go on a scavenger hunt around the farm. It helps them to go meet the different animals that we have here, learn about, you know, farm sanctuary life. We're going to have, we have games, art activities for kids. Obviously the meet and greet with the animals, we'll have a silent auction, raffle, the band, the food truck. And it's, so it's a 2-hour, just basically fun way to get out of the house. We really started this in 2020 when COVID was happening and people wanted something to do outdoors. And the farm sanctuary was a great place to come and have a place to, you know, celebrate Halloween festivities. Although we don't promote people to wear costumes because we have the animals and we don't want to scare the animals. So we created it as a fall, you know, farm fun Halloween event. So it's really fun. It's a great time to be outside, weather, obviously weather permitting. Last year it was cold. We've had it where it's just been seasonably perfect. And so it's a great, great family fun event, face painting too for kids, which kids always love that. But it's a really good event to bring the kids and the family. And if you don't have kids, still come, because we have adults that come all the time just so they can meet the animals and see them and engage with them and, you know, get something yummy to eat and listen to some music.
Awesome. And speaking of amazing events, we know how big of a role Compassion Fatigue plays in the sanctuary world. And you all recently hosted a really cool event that I saw that was a Compassion Fatigue retreat there at Epic Outreach Farm. And can you tell us just a bit more about that unique rejuvenating experience that combined Reiki and sound bath and interaction with the animals and kind of brought all that together?
Yeah, the farm sanctuary has always been just a really magical place. We always call it the magic farm because it's a place of healing, not just for animals, but for people too. And we've always wanted to do something along the line of helping people to heal from compassion fatigue, because I have suffered from it and deal with it as well as many other people. I don't think it's something that any of us should be ashamed of or hide from or run away from. I think it's just a way of our body and our soul telling us and reminding us that we need to slow down, we need to breathe, we need to take care of our heart, our mind, and our soul. And so we partnered with some local ladies who do Reiki and the sound bowl healing to have them come out and offer that to the community as a way for people to come out and restore and, like you said, rejuvenate. And so they were people that attended. We had 27 people attend, from nurses that, you know, deal with people, to animal care staff, and then people in between who just wanted to come out and get that reset, heal their heart and mind and soul. And it was phenomenal. The weather was perfect. The ambiance was just amazing. And people left their phones in the car. They just came to soak up the healing energy of the sound and the Reiki. And then, of course, everybody went out into the field afterwards and engaged with the animals, which is in its own itself healing, you know, component too. And so it's just, you know, one of the ways we utilize or want to continue to utilize the farm to create more compassion for the planet is to have retreats and events and things like that that just really foster people to take care of themselves, right? Because compassion, kindness, it's all about animals and people and, you know, taking care of ourselves too.
Yes, absolutely. And so speaking of compassion and understanding things in the world and views on everything, on your website, you all have an amazing document that outlines Epic Outreach's stance on many animal-related topics. I mean, everything from Duke lawing to puppy mills, dog racing, hunting, zoos, animals and entertainment, tethering, and more. And when I found that, I think it was such an important and essential piece of kind of that humane education puzzle in explaining not just the here's why we, like, or not just explaining here's how we feel, and here's what we support or do not support, but here's the why. And can you elaborate a little more on why it was so important for your organization to post those stances on some of those kind of difficult topics?
Yeah, I think it's a good, I mean, I think you just kind of touched on it a little bit with that kind of intro to the question. I think it's a good way to share not only our view on those animal related topics, but I think it brings up a conscience way to strike a conversation with people. And it gives people a way to not only see how we feel about certain subjects, but it also helps them to start thinking about that same subject and maybe how they feel about it. And not necessarily that they have to agree with us, but it plants that little seed of like, hey, this is how they think. Maybe I should think about that in a different way because this is the way I was thinking about it. And you know, I recently had a conversation with somebody about one of those stances, and it made me rethink about how we look at that stance. And actually, we're in the process of revamping it because I feel like it's a little out of alignment for how we actually view things. And so we'll be updating that in the next couple of weeks or month and re-putting that on our website. Because I do think that we evolve on some of these subjects. Some of us, you know, have different, you know, we have different upbringings. We have different viewpoints based on what our experiences are in our, you know, life. And unless we see how other people think or get a different thought process or view on something, we don't change our mind. And so it helps to plant that seed of like, let's raise our conscience and let's have a discussion. I've had many people talk to me about that, those stances, and it's brought up great conversations. And I think there's a place for all of us to grow. I'm not where, you know, I certainly don't believe I'm where I'm going to arrive forever in my thought process and how I feel or think or believe in things. And it's over time of having conversations and hearing other people's viewpoints and seeing things in different lights, that we begun to raise our conscience and become that more compassionate human being.
And I think one thing that I saw in there that was incredibly powerful to me, and I think reaches kind of the masses and is where you bridge the gap, was on some of those kind of topics that have a very kind of storied deep history and where they come from and what they are, topics such as hunting and zoos and things like that. I love that you all gave your stance, but yet you also talked about, look, we understand that given the world and given the history of this, that these aren't things that are necessarily going away. Here is how, if it's going to exist, here is how it can be more compassionate and more humane and be better for the planet and the animals and everything. And that was what I think out of that entire document, that was what was probably as moving and powerful and that as everything else was, yes, you gave the stance, but you said and understood and acknowledged that as much as we may want certain practices to go away, that based on the nature of what they are, they may not be going away like we want. Here's how we can make them more compassionate and humane.
Yes, very true. I love that. I'm so glad that you read those and took that away. That is what is so important about them. It's not really about the stance. It's about the thought process, right? You really thought about it. You read it. You think through it. And that's what my hope is that people read through it. And again, we've had great conversations with people about those stances. And I think it's amazing that that's what it's all about. It's about having a conversation.
And I think another thing there that I love to bring up, I saw this week on social media, and it was a founder at another sanctuary that posted it, and it was a video on her, it was her personal social media page that showed kind of what her past looked like. So maybe it was at one point in her past wearing fur or eating animals or visiting zoos or for some people hunting, whatever that may be, and allowing people to understand that this isn't necessarily for, especially depending on where you are along the spectrum of how long you've been in animal activism and everything else. This isn't something that some of us have done our entire lives. For a lot of us, the love of animals and all of that was always there, but a lot of us were caught in that misconception and miseducation and everything else that exists in the world about everything else. And I am not afraid in any way to tell people. I came from a family that hunted and fished, and I hunted and fished until years back when I kind of realized, hey, hold on, this is not what I'm going to be doing. And ate meat until I got to the point that I was like, hold on, I can't save animals and eat animals. It doesn't go together. And so just that understanding of we're all humans. And I think that's a very important way to make that connection. And I think these statements help do that and help bridge that gap to really pull people in.
Yes, that's a very cool, very cool way to look at it. Cause you're right. I didn't always grow up not eating meat, and you know, I've done things in my past that I'm probably not, you know, proud of or don't do today. And so there are definitely, yeah, I think we all evolve over time.
So can you share, just if you can think of a couple examples possibly, that kind of outline and detail the impact, that you have personally seen your humane education outreach programs have on, children or adults?
Yeah. So, I think I shared earlier Chance's story, which is a book about him being a pit bull, being, you know, judged, because of his breed. That book has been really super powerful because he really has impacted not just kids, but also adults, and has shifted people's mindset on the pit bull breed based on that story conversation between the butterfly and the dog. And kids, I don't know what it is about the book. I think it might be the illustration, but kids just love his book, and love seeing that butterfly and the dog, together. And so his book has been, you know, very, impactful, by sharing that story. And then Oliver's Big Problem is another one of the most, powerful books that we have, is because it does talk about the pig who grew up and grew outside of the house that he was in and needed to go to a farm sanctuary where he could be cared for and provided for. And I think the fundamental story in there is that, you know, do your research. And, you know, just because he grew up and grew out of the home doesn't mean you just discard him. They actually found a home where he could go and be provided for the needs that he needed to have met. And so that story, kids just love that story. And I think because they come to the sanctuary and they see pigs and then they see the story about the pig and then they take it home, that has been really impactful for kids. And I can't tell you how many kids come back to the farm and want to see Oliver or meet him. They either get the book and they've never been here and then they want to come here and meet him, or they meet him, take the book home, read it, and then still want to come back and see him again. It's really, really cool to see how that all works. And then, of course, there's a book called Winnie, and she's a little dog that got caught in a hurricane. And so people in Florida are familiar with hurricanes. And so her book has been powerful, too, where I've had kids, like I shared earlier, chase me down in hallways. When I come back to visit, they had gotten her book, and they tell me that they read the book over and over again. It reminds them of their dog and it teaches them about adoption and how to care for the animal, and that they become better caregivers to the pets that they currently have. And that to me is impactful when you can teach that lesson, and they were caring for the animal, but they end up caring for it better because they learn a better way. And that is the whole concept around education outreach, is that we become better. Until we know better, we can't do better. And then once we know better, we do better. And it's just amazing.
Yes. And there's so many topics there that can bring up, talking about Florida and hurricanes and understanding the importance of making sure that you have a plan in place for pets so that they don't wind up like Winnie in the story, where she was displaced from a hurricane and didn't have anywhere to go, and making sure that, I mean, there's a lot of education points that come out of those topics, that it's so much more than just a book and just that story, that it helps lead these both children and adults to think of down the line.
Yes, and Winnie's book actually has in the back of it a how to build a hurricane kit for your pet. So it's and not only does it have talking points in there and questions for the parents and the teachers to go through, but it also has this, you know, create something, you know, kind of like a project for kids. They can create a hurricane kit for their pet, which is kind of cool.
Awesome. So one of the amazing outreach kind of programs that I saw on your website that you all do that I would love to see sanctuaries all across the country start. I know it's something that we, after seeing this, I know we definitely want to start here, is your Farm Friend Pen Pal program. Can you tell us just a little more about that engaging program that, again, is another way to help students connect with residents there at Epic Outreach?
We started that in during COVID because when schools closed down and kids didn't have things to do, so we started encouraging them to write to the animals. So, you know, we weren't having many visits, so we wanted the animals to feel engaged by reading you know, letters to them from kids. And it started, you know, very slowly, but then we started having schools write to us with the kids wanting to talk to them. Animals. And so we have a couple of schools that still write to the animals and send their letters, and the animals always write back. And, you know, obviously I'm writing them, but I sign for the animals. We've done hoof prints, we've done nose prints for the kids to send back to them so they think that the animals are writing the stories or writing the letters back. And then we have individual kids who write to the animals as well. And so it's very fun and engaging, and it involves the kids to think and to build upon their writing, build upon their storytelling, and engage them in seeing these animals as individuals and not just quote unquote an animal out in the pasture. So I think that the Pen Pal program is really kind of fun. I stole it from another rescue. It was a dog rescue, Humane Society, that was doing it with their dogs. And it's just been one of those really fun, cool things that kind of sets us apart, but also has a way of engaging the community and the kids. I mean, we've had kids write us from all the way in California, which is really cool. So it's not just our community that's writing. Most of the letters we get are local, but like I said, we get them from as far away as California, which is kind of cool that we can reach people and kids that far.
I mean, just the lesson of teaching our children nowadays to write a letter and even mail it is quite the lesson nowadays.
That's very true.
So we have heard so much about some of the amazing programs and education outreach and stuff that you all do there at Epic Outreach. I just wanted to give you a few minutes to pick kind of a couple maybe of your residents and share their amazing stories and kind of the impact they've had on you personally or on the sanctuary as a whole, just so that people kind of can have that connection with a couple of them.
That's really a hard question because there's so many, right? And all of them have stories and all of them are special and all of them mean so much. But I'll share a couple about the animals that really touch the lives of people that come here. And one of them is Jimmy, who is a large farm type pig. He's a Yorkshire, and he was rescued from, was being raised from in a 4-H program, Future Farmers of America. And the family fell in love with him and just couldn't send him to auction. So he was being raised to be butchered. And so they sent out a plea, and a friend knew us and asked if we would, you know, give him a reprieve and take him in. And I had never had a big pig. At this point, we were only doing small potbelly type pigs. And so a large pig was a little intimidating, but we decided to do it. And so we brought his name Jimmy, and we brought him here. The family actually drove him all the way from Tennessee, rented a trailer to get him here to safety. And he is the one pig that everybody just cannot wait to meet. He comes with calls. He runs for treats. He is super sweet, super gentle, very personable. I really should write a book about him because I get people to tell me all the time, you should write a book about Jimmy, because he's just an amazing pig. And he really has shifted people. We tell the story of where he was going and where he came from and what his destiny was before he came here. And he has shifted people from not wanting to eat bacon, not wanting to eat pork because they met him, and he put a face to something that they had no idea is where their food came from. So he's had a really, really big impactful way. And our mission here at Epic Outreach isn't about the mission of telling people to become vegan or anything, but just us telling Jimmy's story shifts people's mindset and causes them to not want to have to eat meat anymore because they think about Jimmy when they're about to eat that. And so that to me is what makes the biggest impact, is that he's shifted them. Same thing with Duncan. Duncan's a similar type pig. He was rescued because he was abandoned on the street. He's not a Yorkshire, but he's some kind of a large farm type pig. And he had been attacked by dogs. And of course they went for his ears, which they normally do. And he needed $3,000 of surgery. Three surgeries later, we were able to save his life. He lost one of his ears, but he gives him personality and he gives us something to talk about. And so people always ask what happened to his ear. We tell the story, and they're amazed by his resiliency to bounce back. And then, of course, he's got a great personality as well. And Cody the horse. Cody the horse is a big, he's very well known here at the farm because he's got a personality. He's a little bit of a nipper and a biter, but he's just so personable with people. And he was rescued because he was unrideable. And he came to the farm sanctuary as a companion to another horse. And we've learned that he's super smart. We show people that he's learned tricks. He knows his name as well. He will come running when he's called. And people just love him and have learned that horses, even though he's big, horses, you know, are approachable and can be personable. And Cody has really shown that. And he's really taught people about horses. And it's just, it's really cool to see that. And I'll share one more story about an animal. Her name is Poppy and she is a chicken, and she has a great story because she was abandoned at a bus stop. Somebody was trying to get on local transit and taking Poppy as their pet on the bus, and the bus said no. And so they just left Poppy on the street in downtown, where it's just all sidewalks and concrete. And the local transit saw her and scooped her up, called around. They found us, asked us if we would take her. And of course we said yes, ran down and grabbed her and brought her back. And she is one of the most personable chickens, and people love to hear her story because they don't realize that, you know, chickens are, you know, most people think of chickens as, you know, we get eggs from them, or you obviously eat chicken. And they don't realize that they have a personality and that people do try to, you know, keep them as pets. And they do need to be provided for. You can't take them on a bus with local transit. But her life is worth saving. And she does have a great personality. You can pick her up and hold her and touch her, and she's just a real sweetie. And so she's got a great story. People love hearing her story as well.
Yeah. Some amazing stories there. And one thing I have to ask, because obviously here at our rescue, being a smaller rescue, we only have mini pigs or potbelly pigs. We do not have large pigs, but the interactions I've had with them, it's interesting hearing your stories. A lot of people, I feel like, are more scared of large pigs because of their size. I mean, being 800 to 1,000 pounds in some instances. But from the experiences that I've seen and heard, would you agree that it's almost as if the farm pigs are just as or more approachable and everything than what the mini pigs are?
They are. Jimmy is super sweet. He's, you know, some of the potbelly pigs have little attitudes, and so they're not as approachable. So we have many that you can't even touch. I can because I feed them, but visitors really can't get near them. But Jimmy is just like, he's the life of the party, and he's just one happy boy. And Duncan is the same way. And so they definitely are, but people and kids, when they come for a farm tour, they definitely can be a little intimidated by their size because they are big. But Jimmy's just really gentle and sweet. So.
Yeah. So that's very interesting to hear that and see. Again, that's the kind of where the ultimate impact is made, because then you're seeing animals that, trust me, there's plenty of issues out there with mini pigs and potbelly pigs and the way they're raised and how quickly they're abandoned and gotten rid of and everything else. But they don't, fortunately for those smaller breed species, they don't face kind of that same plight that the larger breeds face, as far as that they're almost 100% destined for slaughter if they can't wind up at a sanctuary. So it's awesome to see and be able to share those stories of animals that, again, are just as loving and caring as a dog or anything else would be, but they're animals that otherwise would have headed. I mean, they were on a direct path straight to slaughter if they weren't able to land in a safe space.
Very true. Yeah. And it's a great conversation to have with people, and people don't realize that that's the path that they have. And so when you can talk about that and show the difference in the sizes, because people just think pig is a pig is a pig. And so when they see the size of Jimmy next to a potbelly, they're like, wow, is that pig going to grow as big as that pig? And we have the conversation that they're two different types of pigs. So there's so much education that happens when people come here and get to meet all the animals.
Yes. So if our listeners want to learn more information specifically about Epic Outreach and the farm sanctuary there, where can they do so?
Our website, which is epicoutreach.org. Or our Facebook page, same thing, Epic Outreach. We also have an Instagram page, which is Epic Outreach as well. And we are on YouTube as well. Our YouTube channel is Be Kind TV, although there is a channel for Epic Outreach, but we primarily post on Be Kind TV is what we call our channel. So any of those, they can reach out to us too, or learn more and see what we're doing. We post a lot of videos on YouTube, on Instagram, Facebook. And of course, all the information's on our website, epicoutreach.org.
Perfect. And we'll make sure that we tag those in the show notes so everybody can easily find those. Finally, how can our listeners support Epic Outreach, whether that be donations, volunteer opportunities, whatever that may be? What are the best ways that they can help support your organization?
Well, I appreciate you asking that. It's a great question. We, of course, are fully funded by the community. We don't get any state funding. We get donations through people donating, personal donations, of course, grants, foundations, things like that. But primarily, our funding comes from directly from individuals who support us, whether that's through a monthly support. We do have a monthly program. You can donate monthly or make a direct donation. We, of course, always love volunteers. Volunteers help out in so many amazing ways to help us educate or clean or love on the animals, provide them with everything that the animals need. So volunteers are important, extremely important, and we love them. People can reach out to me directly by sending me an email inquiring that they want to volunteer. We do have a volunteer orientation that you must attend. And so people can reach out and I can share more information about that. My email is on our website and they can find it there, or my phone number is on there as well.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much for kind of covering all of those. And Jesse, we want to say we appreciate you so much taking the time to join us today. We feel honored to help share the amazing story of Epic Outreach and your all's mission to inspire kindness and compassion through animal rescue and education outreach. And just are so blessed to have you join us and share the stories.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it. This was so fun, and I loved sharing all of it, and can't wait to hear it and be able to share it with our community, because I'm sure they'd love to hear more about all the details that I just shared today. So I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for all that you do, for sharing all the messages too, because it's great to get us out there in the community and share more. So just spreading that compassion a little bit further. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Sanctuary Life Podcast, presented by Butterfly Valley Rescue and Sanctuary. To find out more about our podcast and how you can be a part of it, visit our webpage at butterflyvalleyrescue.com/podcast, or join us on social media at Sanctuary Life Podcast. If you enjoyed this week's episode, please remember to download the episode and recommend us to family and friends. See you next time.